We've been studying on God's will and kind of got to a point, change a little bit of direction and thought it kept coming to me was, and I've heard this, but never understood it, never studied it out. So I'm definitely going to need everybody's input on this. But what's referred to as the Macedonian call, I've heard it, didn't know what it was. Most certainly didn't understand the geography and still don't now, but got a little bit better idea of it. But hoping that we could all study this together. And please feel free to add the input that you have. And we're all just here at Sunday school trying to learn together. And that may be something we touch on one of these days, is maybe the history of Sunday school and how that got started. But I actually found a book. Brother Johnny gave it to me here a while back, or lent it to me from a guy that he knew, but found this book from back in somewhere around the 1900s. And it was given the history of Sunday school and how that got started here in the United States of America. And that's very interesting. We may have to go into that in a bit, but maybe studying some of that and reading into some of that, maybe that's kind of what wanted me to understand the Macedonian call. And it refers to Paul and him going over to preach in Macedonia. Well, what makes that so critical is that was the farthest west that anyone had known to carry the word, and that went into the farther reaches of the Roman Empire, went over to the western portion of what is now today Europe, and because it had such an effect there, it went over into England and Wales, and from Wales over to the United States. So that's a little bit of our history there, but that's kind of shows the movement from Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, that area of how the gospel came our way. So that's a real fast-track version of it, but in short, that's kind of how it went. So I just had a thought, well, I want to read into that. Well, so then that's somewhere around the 16th chapter of Acts. And then I thought, well, I want to back up a little bit, and I want to understand where they're at and where they're coming from. So I backed up to the 15th, and then didn't give me a whole lot of bearing. Went back to the 14th chapter, and then into the 13th, and well, we just will pick up around the 9th chapter. We may just start there where Paul's call started. So y'all bear with us, and we'll see if we can't understand this a little bit better. And I want to say this right off the bat. The reason why I end up going from the 14th chapter back into the 13th, or more from the 13th back to the 9th, was I had no idea. And Brother Jeff's taught on this, Barry's taught on this, but I had, talking about Paul's journeys and things like that. Brother Jeff, he hadn't been here very long, and we had some Wednesday night Bible studies on Paul's journey, and he done a good job with it. But I didn't remember realizing that there's two different Antiochs. Had no idea. And that just goes to show how you can be here and listen and people teach and preach on it, and you just still never have any idea. And then it finally hits you in your study one day, and you're like, golly, how in the world did I not know this? So I'm looking at that in the 13th, and they're talking about he was here at Antioch, and then he went over here, and I've got my maps out, and me and Josh was talking about this, and I'm running a scale on that, and I'm like, that's 600 miles. How you just bounce from here to there? And you know, from one verse to the next, you've covered 600 miles by foot, by camel caravan at best, you know. How does that happen? And then you read a little bit farther, and you realize that there's a place called Antioch of Poseidon. So I ain't revealing anything most of you don't already know. I'm just showing, revealing my ignorance is normal. But we're trying to learn together. So y'all please help us out.
We all have to figure
Yeah, yes, ma'am. We'll pick up in Acts chapter 9. We'll just start there at Saul's conversion, as it's referred to. Just 9 and 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So Damascus was north of Jerusalem, and he's wanting to go into that way and bring back the Christians there and bring them into Jerusalem bound, as it says. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that referring to the prods of like a sharpened stick, as they would prod the oxen and things like that, and urge them along the way. And that's what they're referring to as to kick against the pricks. When they would get prodded, then they would kick back at it, kind of like a old mule or a horse with something biting at their heels, you know. As he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that came on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he certainly would do that. So that was reading of Paul's conversion there, and that's where we're first met Saul, and he's still referred to as Saul. And Brother Jeff made this statement the other day when we were talking, you know, that we all say that, you know, that his name was changed there, and it very well may have been, but I don't know, was it himself calling, referring to him as Paul? Or hopefully it was others that seen the change of this man and started calling him by a new name. The difference of the name of Saul and the difference of the name of Paul, and I believe Paul to be small or least or lesser, and something along those lines. And Saul was meant as a destroyer, right? So you would hope that it was the people around him that started referring to him as somebody new, because they had seen a change in this man. He was no longer the man that he was. So we just wanted to touch on that a little bit. And then we recognize that then Paul started, we'll go on down to the 20th. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name, on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And now Barnabas enters the picture in the next verse. But I think we were first introduced to Barnabas in chapter 4 and 36. If you want to turn back there. And Joses, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. This is to be the same Barnabas that's referred to later on, but just recognize his first name was Joses, is how that's pronounced there. So going back to 9 and 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas had to stand and convince these men and elders of Jerusalem of what he had seen Paul do. He had to attest to that. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. So from Jerusalem to Caesarea, roughly about 50 miles or so, and then to Tarsus. Now recognize where Tarsus is from Caesarea. It's all the way to the top end of what is now, or what was then called Syria. But in the Old Testament, that would have been all part of Israel. It would have been basically to the farthest extremities and maybe even beyond Israel's original border. But nowadays, much, much less than that. But we're saying it's roughly 400 miles from Caesarea to Tarsus. So recognize when you see these names of these cities. And it's kind of always intrigued me, these maps and these names of these cities. And me and Josh was talking about it the other day, and he said he's got a book that shows the old boundaries maybe, and then it's got like a piece of Lexan or a piece of see-through material that you could fold over, then it shows the new boundaries to the new map. And we ought to see about getting something like that, because that really helps out. If you can understand the geography and how far away these are, and maybe we'll get just a little bit of understanding what these men actually went through to get the gospel out, how far these journeys were from one verse to the next, and what they bound to have went through. Like Brother Josh was saying, Marty and him going to be heading over there to Ghana. The obstacles that they're going through is going to be quite a bit, I'm sure. But we don't read all of those things that Paul went through from Caesarea all the way up to Tarsus. There's no telling what they might have ran into in that 400-mile span. And they did that just to get the gospel out. Any other thoughts? Feel free. So Paul's now back to Tarsus. It's his first time of going up there after being saved, and that was where he was from. So keep that in mind. He's heading up there. You wonder what some of those folks might think, man. We, as far as what we're reading, and I know sometimes these things that happen may not be exactly in chronological order, and you see that a lot here in Acts, just like you've seen in the Old Testament as well. So I don't want to take that out of context, but we could at least say it's the first time we've read about it since he's been saved, that he's going to Tarsus there. So now he's going to people that have probably known him from the time he was growing up, and to see this big change, and again, we're, you know, not to read into it, but they're still referring to him as Saul. But I just wonder, whenever he got there to Tarsus, if some didn't start saying, who's this new guy? Boy, he looks like Saul, but he certainly don't act like Saul. Thank goodness. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And those were the three countries, if you could kind of look at it that way. Judea would have been down south where Jerusalem was. Samaria would have been in between them, and then Galilee just up above that. And we're edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, we're multiplied. So now it says it looks like the church has got a little bit of relief that they've been worried and been in fear of this man going up and down from north to south and looking for all these Christians and wanting to take them bound back to Jerusalem. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. So this is where it goes. Now we start reading about Peter, and I don't want to say that that's not important, but it just kind of didn't go along with our study there. So we may jump on past the rest of 9 and 10 and go to 11, chapter 11 and 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. So actually, let me back up just a little bit. Let me pick up there with so what Barnabas is doing. Barnabas had been in Antioch near to Tarsus, and now he'd been up there doing work, but now he stepped aside to find this young Paul, this Saul, the man that he had spoke for there to Jerusalem. And Barnabas has been there at Antioch, and he knows Paul's in Tarsus, so he goes just a little bit north there and finds Paul and brings him back to Antioch. So then there in the 25th it said, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now this is the Antioch that is closer to the old borders of Israel, what was Judea back then. Not the one way northwest. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now the reason why we read that, it's a couple of things. This Claudius Caesar, you can find that in world history. You can find that in Josephus' writings. And that was dated somewhere around 46 to 48 B.C., somewhere in there. So when we talk about biblical history and world history, one supports the other, and that's one of those areas there that we can find that. But this Agabus, he recognized there was going to be a drought there in Jerusalem, and he came up to this early church, this young church there in Antioch, and was actually asking for help and. I believe that they give provisions. I believe that they would have given money for those things. Mm-hmm. And it said, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren. Now, recognize the difference between that and some of the church actions a few years after this, maybe the Church of Rome or the early Catholic Church, it would have been a state thing. You would have had to have given money, but we recognize that's not biblical. We recognize it said according to his ability. I believe that they give free heartily. Determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So this church of Antioch respected Saul, respected Barnabas quite a bit, and to send these provisions back down to Jerusalem. So again, we're talking of an area there at least 300 to 400 mile journey from north back down to the south again. And now we get into the next chapter, going into 12 a little bit. Any thoughts on any of that? And I hope I'm not rushing through this. I kind of feel like I am, but again, trying to hit the highlights of just where It seems to me that how fast Paul just completely applied himself and willing to go and do and teach and here I'll do good to stop by on my way from home to church. I'd do good to pull off the road a half a mile to tell somebody about the Lord. And here this man is, he made it his life, didn't he? Absolutely made it his life. Any thoughts on that?
This is a little bit sidetracked, I guess, but I'd already had the thought where we've got our conference or business left open, and we try to just do that for it really, you know, things that immediate purposes, but didn't realize that Brother Marty was going to be going as soon as what he is. We won't have another conference, and I know just his plane fare over there is going to be about $1,200 mm-hmm. just for his plane ticket.
Amen.
And I already thought we didn't bring it up last month, and then he's going to be going before next conference. So I think during church, at the end of church or however the church feels to do it, we need to open the floor and give Marty about $1,500. Right now, our bank account is really good. And that's what all this is all about.
Anyway. Amen.
And, but his ticket itself is about $1,200.
Yeah.
And since it all come up so immediately, so to speak, and we went and took care of it, but our business is left open. Normally, we wouldn't do something like that until a business meeting, but I think that under the situation, we need to probably need to try to do something like it.
Amen.
Mention that so everybody will know, you know, don't want to just pull a big surprise on people.
Amen.
If church sees fit, we may try to do something like that.
Amen. God bless. We see that to be scriptural.
Amen.
And I know me, for whatever, I was traveling, it was, you know, you don't mind putting certain things on your credit card, but you never know what you might need those, what that limit might be or what you may run into. So I say, you know, it'd be ideal that he could have his plane ticket stuff paid for and not have that burden on a credit card or something like that. He may have to have that for something else. So,
that means money with him.
Yep, amen. Amen. Appreciate this. If we're going to hang a sign out here saying we're missionaries,
Amen.
We need to prove it.
Right.
And some of these men willing to go to Ghana, Belize, wherever else brethren may be going, need to support that.
Right.
Anything else? Appreciate this. Let's go to chapter 12. Because it goes back to Peter there in the early part of chapter 12. So we'll go to 12 and 25. And it picks up there at the end of the chapter. And Barnabas and Saul return from Jerusalem. And we know they last went to Jerusalem. And it says they returned from, kind of assuming that's Antioch. And then we'll read down there in 13 that I believe that it is. But so it said return from Jerusalem. Back to Antioch, when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So John Mark is who we're referring to there. Surname we spell it here a little bit different. We would actually spell it S-I-R in certain places, but the surname is the given name. It's the family name. That's what that means. So when you read John, whose surname, so the John was his given name, but Mark would be the family name that is passed down. So that's what the surname means. So John Mark, which is the same one that you read about in the Gospel of Mark. That's John Mark. That's who they're referring to there. So just keep that in mind. And we're going to see maybe a not so flattering side of John Mark. Just keep those things in mind. So in chapter 13... Now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So we picked up Barnabas and Saul there, and it said that they were in the church that was at Antioch. Now, would that be, I'll ask some of you, brethren, would that be that they were physically in, or was they a part of that church there?
I believe Paul ended up being a member of Antioch. Now, I believe he went from Damascus to Jerusalem, and I believe he ended up being a member at Antioch, and I believe they were the ones ordained him and Barnabas and sent him out.
Amen. Amen.
And every time when he finished the journey, he would always come back and report unto Antioch.
Amen.
So that's what I...
Amen. Amen. I don't think that's a reach at all. I think that's... Sure looks that way to me too. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And that work is what Brother Jeff was just talking about. This appears to be mission work, that they've called these men to go out and do this of the Holy Ghost. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So I believe that would have been the other members there of the church, the elders. They would have gave them Godspeed, recognized it was a holy work, and they sent them on. And they said, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So, thought I had some notes on that. So, Paul and Barnabas to Seleucia, which is about 20 miles away, but that's basically just a step over to the coast. So they go about 20 miles there, and then they're heading to Cyprus. And Cyprus, that's the island. They're just off the panhandle, if you'd say, of Samaria there. So they would then have to set sail to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So that Salamis portion there, that's in also when we read on into the sixth, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. So this is the same isle there that they're referring to. So the island of Cyprus, but there were to be two cities on this island, and Salamis being one of those, and Paphos being the other. So they found a certain sorcerer, and that's not Patmos, that's a whole different area. I had to look that up to make sure that wasn't just a change of spelling, but that is certainly not necessarily, it's not of the same island for certain. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, and that was the reason for reading this, that's where we see that came about. So they're still referring to Saul, and they said he was also called Paul. So that was back in the 9th chapter where he was saved, but here in the 13th is where we recognize he's still being called by both. Yeah. Maybe the ones there in Tarsus that knew him whenever he was a child, maybe they still referred to him as Saul. But again, I could only hope that the people that knew him gave him that name and started calling him something different, because he was nowhere near the man that he once was. I think we could all relate to that. Maybe you knew somebody in school that they had a nickname, and you can't help for to call them that, but then sometimes you just feel, I don't need to call him that no more. He doesn't act like that anymore. But I hope it's from a Christian standpoint that they would have a new name to call us. Any thoughts on any of that?
I guess I've waited around on that. I've always heard people say that God called him Paul. And I can't find that scripture. I just find where it says that Saul, who was also called Paul.
Amen.
I guess I waited to where I thought maybe he kind of changed his name, because he caused so much trouble in Jerusalem with Christians that, you know, maybe he changed his name to Paul, sort of, or maybe they would saved him a little bit. But you made a point this morning that I never thought about that. And I think that's a good point, too, that maybe people just saw a difference in him and started seeing how humble he was instead of a destroyer. He became so humble.
Amen.
That maybe they decided to call him Paul. So I really don't know what the answer is, but I know
he
better than. I know there was a great big change in that man.
Amen.
And we should be a change in us.
Amen.
And, so that was a great big change in that man. Whether God called him Paul, I don't know. I can't find it scripturally. But, or whether the people called him Paul, I don't know. Or whether he just started calling himself that, I still don't know.
Yeah.
But I know he was a changed man.
Amen.
And that's the thing.
Amen. Any other thoughts on that? Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm still riding that fence myself.
But I like your. We was talking about something the other night, and Marty, I was talking about something. Marty mentioned something. I thought, well, boy, I like his theory better than I did my own. And I kind of like yours better than I did, maybe the kind of way I thought before. So, it's hard to say, but I know one. We all know one thing. He changed.
Amen. Yes, he did. In 13 and 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. Now, this Perga is within the boundaries of Pamphylia. That's what we would say is the country. And it's a coastal town there. So they would basically, they would have sailed from that Cyprus, and they would have sailed north, maybe northwest just a little bit, and they would have come to that area there in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So that's where John Mark decides, I've had enough, I'm going home.
Yeah.
We don't read any as to reason why. We don't read that the Lord allowed it, told him to do it, told him not to do it, but we read later on it caused a big strife between Barnabas and Paul, didn't it?
Amen.
And they end up splitting up after Barnabas and Paul seemingly so tight for so long that John Mark, so when we talk about God's will and we've been studying on God's will, we don't see God's will in that. And you almost know, without a doubt, it couldn't be of the Lord's will to have split up or to have caused the strife between Paul and Barnabas. So this is that not so good a light that we were talking about that John Mark did not show. He didn't stick it out with them. Yeah, he didn't earn his stripes with them. And Paul had a big problem with that, didn't he? But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. And that is the other Antioch that we were talking about earlier. This is the one that is well around the corner of Syria, up what would be close to Galatia area, as it ran kind of on an angle. Forgive me for not having maps, and maybe we'll try to come up with that, as Brother Jeff suggested, because that's certainly really helpful to understand this geography and to seeing how far away these areas are. But there in the 13 and 14, when it refers to that Antioch and Pisidia, that would have been about 20 miles or so away from that coastal town of Perga there, where he was just at. Now, we'll go from there. Not skipping over a lot of stuff, but we'll want to go over to the next place that they left from. So they had some dealings there, and then in 13 and 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. So they stayed there, and they had preached there at this Antioch of Pisidia, and there were people that were, they were gaining quite a bit of notoriety there. They were preaching the gospel, and they got run out. Said, and expelled them out of their coast, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And Iconium would have been southeast of this Antioch there at Pisidia. And that's where they ended up there at the end of chapter 13.
And then this is right in the middle of the two Antiochs, basically.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One Antioch is to the west, the one is to the east.
Yep, that's right. And they kind of bounce back and forth there for a little while, and then they'll come back to the other Antioch and then be sent down to Jerusalem from there. But what, three different mission trips?
Yeah. He had three mission trips in his journey to Rome.
Man.
But now, the reason I figured it out, you figured it out because of the travel. The reason I noticed there was another Antioch, the reason it got to me is because what Paul was preaching in the 13th chapter to the Antioch. I kept thinking, why is he preaching to them like they don't know the Lord? And they're the one that just, you know, they're the ones ordained. And I'm thinking, this just don't make no sense.
That's a good point.
And I just kept going over it, over my mind, why is he preaching to this way to these people? And then finally I thought, this has got to be a different Antioch.
Amen. Good point.
And so,
you thought he's like us, he's going to seed on something.
I thought, boy, he sure enough going to seed here. Because it just didn't seem like it made any, this didn't make no sense to me.
Amen.
And that's the reason you called it by the mileage, but I called it by what he was saying. But I was so confused. And then finally, like I said, it's something we all
got
to figure out.
Amen. Amen. That's a good point. Yeah, I kind of jumped over some of that, what he was preaching there, but you're right. That makes a lot of sense. Any other thoughts on that? We may be at a good stopping point there. We may pick back up somewhere around the 14th chapter, and if we can get some, if we find those maps Brother Jeff was talking about, maybe we'll back up and look into that, and then we'll have a little bit of bearing on where he started, him and Barnabas. We'll have a little bearing on where they ended up, and then also to realize when they do decide to go to Macedonia, how far away. It's definitely not in his stomping grounds there. It's well beyond anywhere that he had been. We recognize that Stephen had came into some of these areas, it says there in the book of Acts, but some of these areas that Paul's already in, we don't know that he ain't the first one going into those areas with this teaching. So, anything else? Y'all just consider yourself dismissed this morning. Y'all be in prayer for Brother Jeff here in just a little bit.